Okay, do you want to do the intro or do you want me to do the intro?
You know, you always ask me this question.
Yes, I do.
And it's usually me who starts the episode.
It usually is.
Yeah.
Would you like to start the episode, Mel?
I would love to.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy place. This is episode 35 on July 7th, 2021. I am your host, Melanie.
Ooh, and I am your other host, Juliana. And this week, we are all alone. Woohoo, it's been a while.
Ooh, it is. At least for us, because we have had some pre-recorded episodes coming out and then plenty of guests in a row. And it's been a couple of months since only you and me have been chatting alone by ourselves.
Yeah.
I was actually really looking forward to it.
Yeah. We love having our guests, but it's nice to just not have to worry about the logistics of a third person's recording and everything. And it gives Mel a little bit of a break when she's editing, too, because there's only two tracks to work with.
Very true. But also, I feel like we get on a more personal level when it's just you and me sometimes. Yeah.
Which is good, because this week we're talking about celebrating being ourselves, which is innately a personal thing. If you're going to be someone else, that doesn't count as being yourself. So if you're not being personal in this situation, I guess you're just not doing it. You're not being yourself if you're being someone else.
Makes sense, I guess.
So if we're not personal about this, then I guess we're just lying. Essentially.
Okay, where are we going with this?
Oh, I have no idea.
Great start to the episode.
Yeah, welcome anyone who is a new listener. This is what you can come to expect and love and enjoy from Puffcast.
It's been 35 episodes. People should be used to us trailing off into I don't even know where the sentence is going. So this is the perfect example.
Wow.
How about we are starting with our feedback, Juliana?
Yes. Let us get into our feedback and our news section. Do-do-do-do-do-do! News! Good evening. Reporting live from Hogwarts Castle, my name is Juliana, and tonight we have something very exciting on our news segment. That is nothing! There is nothing on the news today! Thank you for your time. Have a lovely evening, and we'll see you tomorrow on the news! Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, we truly have no news at all.
Nothing in the fandom has happened in the last 2 weeks, really. Well, I think the only thing that MuggleNet put out, the Harry Potter Bestiary book, which I've yet to read. And one of our past guests and my friend Kim is one of the authors on that book. So I guess that's really the only thing that we have happening right now. And I just kind of thought of that because I was looking at the book because I haven't read it yet because it's sitting on the side of a desk. But yeah, really, other than that, there's like literally nothing.
So go check that out.
Yeah, go head over to Amazon or wherever you purchase books, and I think it's like $12 or something. So go and support our buddy Kim, and go and support the other writers on the MuggleNet staff, because they're all just small authors.
Yeah. Round of applause for you guys.
Yes, all those little small authors out there just making it big.
But we do have plenty of feedback. First of all, our episode 33, we had John Campling on. And we have him written as John Campling in the
doc. That's because I wrote it in the doc.
Oh, genius.
Campling.
Okay, so first of all, we got a very nice email from our friend Andre. And he says, Hello, my friends. I missed writing to you. Puffcast really is an inclusive environment. In addition to receiving guests from the four houses, it is a place where even Death Eaters are welcome.
Yes, we pride ourselves very highly in including everyone.
Yeah, we just trust everyone. He continues to say, joking aside, it was really fun to listen to this episode and get to know a little more about John, who seems to be an awesome person and has an incredible energy, besides getting inside these stories behind the scenes. Throughout John's story, I could feel myself inside the film set, following the recording. Fact that the scene of Hogwarts Express being stopped will never be the same again. Lots of poop emojis. I try to search in Google and on Instagram for the picture of John's wand that he used in the film, but without success. John, if possible, share and show us, please. Not to mention that I found out that he was a fellow wand maker and creates very beautiful exclusive models.
Does he?
I am not aware of that. I don't know where, Andre, you got that idea.
It doesn't sound out of John's wheelhouse, though, to have taken up wand carving for at least a short amount of time.
He's a man of all trades. That could be. I have not heard of it. He was saying in our episode that he was able to choose the wand, because most of the actors are able to choose their own wand, but that's news to me. So maybe you should come back to us, Andre, and let us know where that thought came from.
Yeah, give us your source of this information.
He still said that for the rest, it's just wishing you a lot of success and congratulating you for the incredible episode with love, Andre. Which is nice. We're so happy that you liked it.
Yes.
In addition, we had our friend on Instagram, Robbie, writing to us saying that he listened to the latest episode and totally obsessed about the idea that he may have photos, speaking of John here, that he may have photos of the wand he used. He would love to know and see it. And wouldn't we love that too?
Yeah. I was telling Mel a little bit earlier that I was trying to find the picture of John's wand, but with no success. There's quite a lot of pictures on John's Instagram. And I was not able to find it. And our friend Rob is a wand collector. So I know he would definitely love to get his hands on either like a replica of this wand or at least see a picture of it. So, and I'm genuinely interested too. I would love to see a picture of this wand.
I just had an idea.
Yes.
Since he was not himself sure if he even has a picture of it, maybe, because he probably has it in his mind what it looks like, I could ask him to draw it because he loves drawing as well.
Yes.
And that way we could maybe share it with people and then maybe get that designed. So make a replica like that. How about that?
I think that's a great idea, because I think we have some people in our little community, maybe even Andre, who would be willing to undertake the replica creation of this wand, and then Andre could create a museum in his house and charge people $5 a pop to go and see this wand that he's created. So Andre, if you would like to make some money, let us know. We're going to get a picture of this wand from John, hopefully, and then we'll set up a museum in your house. Thanks.
Juliana has the best ideas. Yeah, but I'll take note of that. I think that's an idea we could maybe provide it in that way. So stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Then we still had Ellie responding to the episode as well. She said, the John Campling episode is so good. He's so hilarious and down to earth. And I will never look at the first day the same way ever again.
Yep.
And Jeff still added to that, the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. What is that liquor? Is it Prosecco or something? Where it's like, the most interesting man in the world is kind of their tagline. I'm giving Mel another ad that seems to only be in the United States.
Yeah, I've no idea what you're talking about today, so
now this, first the Geico lizard and now this, and Mel is just so not getting any of the references that I'm making.
But yeah, we are so happy that you guys enjoyed it. And as we have mentioned several times now before, we will definitely have him back because he loved being on the show as well. And it's always fun to have such interesting people around and chat with.
Yeah.
Despite him being a Death Eater, so I hope no one is afraid now to continue listening to us.
Now that we have Death Eater friends. So, we also have some feedback from episode 34, which is our episode where our friend and patron Jen came on, and we talked about Fantastic Beasts and where we think the movies are going. So, Buttercup's question from that episode was, what do you think of the Fantastic Beasts movies, and where do you think these movies will go from here? So we actually got a decent amount of responses for this question, which was really great. And our first response came from our friend Real Fishy. She said, as much as I like the first one, I don't think that Fantastic Beasts franchise will recover from the controversies around it, mainly, of course, the J.K. Rowling and some of the actors' antics. But also, story-wise and cut-wise, Crimes of Grindelwald deeply disappointed and annoyed me with reconning, pacing, and too many quick cuts. Unless movie 3 steps up and corrects lots of the mistakes, I don't think we will see the movies 4 and 5, and the Fantastic Beasts franchise will never recover. I firmly believe they will have been better off with releasing it as books beforehand. So I know that this is kind of an opinion that's shared widely within the fandom. She's definitely not alone in thinking that the controversies definitely took a cut into these movies. And I agree with her too, if the movies probably would be in a much better spot. And I also will die on the hill of these movies should have been books, because my analogy for these movies is that they are a cloudy skyline of a city that we can see the skyline in the distance. We can see that it's there, but we can't really see all the details. Whereas if she was to write it as books, it would be as though we were up close. So we get all the finer details that we know that she has these backstory for these characters. We know that they're there, but because of the format of a movie, we just can't get them because movies aren't formatted to give you intricate backstories on characters.
I always had a bit the impression that, well, she is not as experienced with writing scripts and she is getting a lot of help, as it seems. But still, especially with the second movie, I kind of feel like the script is still written more like a book because she is very used to writing very detailed and lots of things are happening all over places. But in a book, that makes sense. Just in a movie, it's very hard to translate. And I suppose they tried their best to get it all in as much as they could to make it sensible, but she set off a lot of stories for characters that we don't even know yet, and they don't seem in any way to make sense right now. My hope is that with the next movie, we will be able to close up some of those little storylines, and or that they make at least more sense to us, that we get some answers so it's less confusing and overwhelming for us.
Yeah. I feel like the Harry Potter movies got away with some of this stuff because we had the books to go off of. So if you were confused by something, you just went back to the book and it was all fully fleshed out and explained within the context of the book. I mean, granted, there were people too who just saw the movies and were just like, I don't understand what's happening in this scene, and just left it at that. Here we just have these scripts and I feel like they're not enough detail.
Mm-hmm.
Our second comment came from Geek Girl on Wheels, and she said, I love Noose Commander, and the first movie was fun. The circus creatures were the best part of the second, and I hate where they took Queenie. I would like to see where it comes next, but we're at that point where it can become interesting or die. And yeah, I kind of agree too, where we'd both like to see them continue, I feel like, Mel.
Yeah, definitely. I think the main problem here is just what happens with the author and the actress themselves.
Yeah.
Why it is so wildly negatively received. That is what puts the shadow over this whole storyline and about the movies. Mm-hmm. I think if all of that stuff wouldn't have happened or even keep happening, it would be looked at
differently.
Yeah. So they overshadow that a lot. And that's why it might then be less visited in the cinemas, less being viewed and less interest shown, because people are just over the nonsense that comes that way. So, and not so much because of the stories itself necessarily.
Yeah, they just don't want to be involved with any of the side drama that comes along with it, because as you and I talked about with Jen, there are people within the fandom who actively hate on other people who like the Fantastic Beasts movies, and they put them so like, how can you like them? And I think just that like added element in just kind of sours things on the whole.
I know that lots of people are very negative about the whole thing and are boycotting going to the movies and stuff. We have talked about that in the last episode, but I have not actively seen anyone hating on someone else who loves the Fantastic Beasts movies. And I have never been told by anyone myself either that that's really crappy that you love this. We are not loving the actions of the actual people. We love the stories and the movies and the books. That is, it's still a difference to me, but maybe I am just not really looking at that kind of stuff. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I just might be more involved on some of those things when it comes to like social media and stuff like that. But I've definitely seen other people calling other people out on liking the Fantastic Beasts movies, which again is sad because we're here for the content. We're not here for the author. We're not here for people hating on other people. So if you like them, great. If you don't,
that's fine too.
The next comment comes from Hufflepuffing by Night, and they said, I really loved the first one. It was refreshing and exciting, and what I thought was overall a great addition to the Wizarding World stories. Then Crimes of Grindelwald rolled in. The characters act so different from one movie to the other, and the ridiculous plot points help nobody. I will probably see the others, really excited for Mads Mikkelsen, but mostly just to see if it fails or if it recovers.
To say it like one of my dearest friends that I might be looking at right now, I will die on this hill and keep saying the same thing.
Yes.
Just have patience. Channel your inner Hufflepuff. Everyone has a small one in them. It doesn't matter what house you belong to. Because we just need to have patience. We are for sure getting these answers. And if there aren't answers to every single thing, if it's not any major thing, then that's what it is. That's what we have with the Harry Potter books as well.
Yeah.
Just try to have a bit of patience. We are going to get these answers. It is a lot, and it's probably even more frustrating because we have to wait so long to get to the next movie to get our answers. So yeah, we can discuss everything through 5,000 times, and we still am not going to have these answers because we keep waiting. But just try to be patient.
Yeah. I think, again, this is another point where these movies suffer as opposed to when the Harry Potter movies were coming out, because when each movie came out, we already had the book.
That's true.
It was more of a question of what will they include and what will they leave out, as opposed to what is actually going to transpire.
Do you think that might be really because we are not used to this? As you said, we have had with the Harry Potter movies, we had the books before and we knew what is going to happen.
Yeah. R.I.P. Winky. R.I.P.
Yeah. Because when you look at, for example, Marvel movies, there's a lot of stuff happening in those too, and no one complains about that.
Oh, they love finding Easter eggs in Marvel movies. I've watched my fair share of YouTube videos. Thank you very much.
We are currently very immersed in Loki, so.
Yes.
Yeah, but that is kind of maybe a similar thing where people are very excited about theorizing. And why aren't we doing this here without that we are getting mad?
Yeah.
It's maybe because we are so used to having these books before and the movies are now, for the Fantastic Beasts movies, are different.
All the drama aside from these movies, it's just the fact that we don't have a source material to look back to, like a book. It should just... I'm hoping that maybe at some point the author will go back and write the books that go along with these movies, because that would be nice. Thank you to everyone who submitted some feedback for that. We also had some comments that came across to us on our Instagram stories, which we did not read here, just because those disappear.
I reposted them at least and tagged everyone under there, so.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Megs.
And I'm Nathan.
And welcome to Care of Magical Shippers, your Harry Potter ship culture podcast. We're here to answer all of your shipping questions, like, what is a ship? Why do we ship? And where in the world did that ship come from? From pairings in canon to the rarest pairs of them all.
So join us as we discuss all the magical ships the Harry Potter fandom has to offer.
So click subscribe, or else you won't know when new episodes drop.
You can find us at careofmagicalshippers.com, Magical Ship Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and Care of Magical Shippers on Tumblr and Patreon.
So grab your life vest, because we are going down with these ships.
But that is it for the feedback section. So, Mel, should we get into our main discussion?
Yes, please!
Hooray! Okay, so this week we have kind of a joint discussion that leads to one main topic, and we are going to talk about how Luna Lovegood teaches us to take pride in being ourselves. So, as many of you know, June was Pride Month. We are no longer in June as of when this recording comes out, but Pride Month should be celebrated every month, and I'm just going to give a quick...
We are going to quick.
A quick history of Pride Month.
Okay, do you want to take that again?
Oh no, I think that was a good one.
Okay.
A very quick history of Pride Month. So Pride Month is celebrated every year in June to commemorate the riots that were held by members of the LGBTQIA+ community against a police raid that took place at the Stonewall Inn in New York City on June 28th, 1969, so not even that long ago. Mm-hmm. These Stonewall Inn riots were the tipping point for the gay liberation movement in the United States, according to the Library of Congress. The uproar also paved the way for the modern fight for LGBTQIA+ rights. So it was kind of the start of everything that we know today as the modern movement. Pride is, again, started as like a riot and as a march for rights, and has more or less turned into that along with a joyous like Pride parade celebration. But the first Pride parade happened in New York City, and there were approximately 3,000 to 5,000 marchers in that inaugural parade. Today in New York City, their Pride parade brings in millions of people, which is fabulous. And since 1970, LGBTQIA+ people have continued to gather to march and support Pride and demonstrate their crusade for equal rights. That's what I'm looking for. But one of the biggest messages that you can gather from Pride is giving yourself permission to authentically be yourself and have confidence in who you are. And that's really, really what Pride is about. All the political sides of Pride aside, it's not easy being yourself a lot of the time because of the way society is just built. So we would like to look to one of our favorite characters in the books for some inspiration. And Mel, who is one of our favorite characters who we look to teach us to be ourselves?
Luna!
Yay!
Yay!
Yes! Miss Luna Lovegood.
So before we dive more into that, we want to just remind everyone who Luna is anyway. So Luna Lovegood, also nowadays known as Luna's Commander. Mm-hmm. Her birthday was 13th of February 1981, which means she's about 2 years older than me. Fun fact. She's a British witch, the only child and daughter of Xenophilius and Pandora Lovegood. Her mother accidentally died while experimenting with spells when Luna was 9, and Luna was raised by her father, editor of the magazine The Quibbler. Mm-hmm. In a rook-like house near the village of Ottery St. Catchpole in Devon, which sounds like such a fun place.
What a long name.
Luna attended Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry from 1992 until 1999 and was sorted into Ravenclaw House. Very smart cookie.
Yes, she is.
Then we have her in her fourth year. Luna joined Dumbledore's Army, an organization taught and led by Harry Potter, of which she became an important member. She participated in the Battle of the Department of Mysteries, that was 1996, and the Battle of Astronomy Tower, 1997. and she co-led the reconstituted Dumbledore's army when Hogwarts fell under the control of Lord Voldemort, with Severus Snape as headmaster. She has accomplished a lot, I think.
She's done a lot. I feel like when people think of Luna, they don't actually realize how many things she has done.
Mm-hmm. Because of her father's political dissidence at the time, Luna was Because of her father's political dissidence at the time, Luna was abducted by Death Eaters, John Kapling, to be held ransom and imprisoned in the dungeons of Malfoy Manor for months, which must have been awful.
I hope, John, if you're listening, I hope you feel terrible about that.
Yeah, because I hope so too, mister.
That's awful.
Yeah. She was freed by Dobby, along with several other prisoners, in the spring of 1998 and stayed at Shell Cottage until she returned to Hogwarts to participate in the final battle of the Second Wizarding War. After the war, Luna became a magizoologist, studies magical creatures, discovering and classifying many magical species that had never been encountered before. And I can so see that, because she has such an open eye and ear for everything that's strange. So I bet she found some really cool creatures.
Oh, yeah.
She went on to marry Rolf Scamander, how fitting, the grandson of Newt Scamander, a famed magizoologist with whom she had twin sons, Lorcan and Lysander.
That was news to me. I did not realize she had twin sons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think people, like you said, don't realize how involved Luna was with all the major plot events that happened in the Harry Potter books, and the fact that she's like a pretty important character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is.
I feel like a lot of the time in the greater fandom, not the smaller, more deep divey subset that we're a part of, Mel, but the people who are just like, I'm a Harry Potter fan, and they are all Gryffindors, you know, those people. Their only context for Luna is her spectrospecs. They kind of boil her down to being kind of like a person with spectrospecs.
Loony Lovegood.
Yeah. But they don't actually appreciate how special and how important she is to the story itself. And we didn't have her in the story, a lot of things wouldn't happen. So
I think that perfectly reflects the stories itself, because everyone is just thinking she is weird and no one wants to deal with her. Until this tiny group of people actually sees how valuable she is and how knowledgeable and how smart and what a good friend she is and how good her heart is. And to have an open mind is anyway, at least for me personally, a very important trait to have.
Mm-hmm.
To see the world, enjoy the small things, you know, and not just pass them by, because Luna really loves to be aware of everything, and even if it's completely crazy that her dad makes up for the, you know, what he believes in. Yeah, it's a little bit kooky maybe sometimes, but just to have that open mind is just beautiful.
Yeah, and like we said, one of her biggest character traits is that she is herself
the
entire time throughout these books. And
she's not ashamed.
No, she just goes about her life doing what she feels is right, doing what she feels is true to who she is, and just, like, not giving a crap what other people think about her. Mm-hmm. And this is just such an admirable trait, something that is definitely hard to do. And so we just want to see how Luna inspires us to be ourselves. And I think one of the first thing is the thing that we talked about already, is that she's 100% authentic. No matter who she's interacting with, she just owns who she is. And doesn't care what other people have to say. Mm-hmm. And we have a few quotes here that I've written in the doc that we can kind of intertwine in as well. So one of her quotes is, "Being different isn't a bad thing. It means you're brave enough to be yourself."
Yeah. Honestly, that is really one of the things that I love about her so much. Because that we are getting to our own experiences later, but it is a very important aspect of Luna for me personally.
Yeah, well, because being yourself is something that you have to have some bravery to do. Because our society makes us want to be like everyone else. And in reality, that's not fun and it's not a good thing. But it definitely takes a lot of effort to break that mold, for sure.
And I feel like if you are, in quotation marks, you're being different from other people, mm-hmm. then what society kind of dictates you to be, and you don't fill that mold that they have for you, you always have to defend your own choices as well. And that is very exhausting. And you constantly have to explain why. And instead of that, people just let you be and let you live your life that makes you happy.
Yeah, it's almost like people take personal offense to the fact that you are different, even though you being different doesn't affect them. It's like, oh my gosh, you're different? How can you insult me like that? Not an insult to anyone. It's just me being myself. If you take that personally, then you, my friend, may need to look introspectively into your own soul.
And since we are talking about pride here, that of course fits perfectly to the situation that many have to go through, no matter how mm-hmm. they identify, that they constantly have to, if they live it out openly for everyone to see, they constantly have to defend themselves and their choices and their feelings, which must be so horrible to go through. And that's why I think Pride Month is so important, that and that we all support one another and be there, no matter if you fit into one of those categories or not, or if you are considered to be, again, quotation marks, normal.
Yeah.
We should all admire the bravery that people are showing now to be openly exactly who they are and not be ashamed of it. Just like Luna.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things for me that's one of the biggest shticks of Pride Month is that it's sad that if you're not the what society says is the normal thing, you have to give a full explanation of yourself. That everyone, in regards to Pride, just assumes that you are straight until you give a very detailed, long explanation that you are otherwise, and you have to keep coming out, essentially, regardless mm-hmm. of whether you're gay, lesbian, any of the other identifications. You just have to keep coming out to people if you're not straight, because people just assume that you are straight instead of assuming that everyone can be different. And assuming that if you're not straight, then, oh my gosh, there must be something wrong with you. And how could you think that way?
I always find it so silly that we sort of expect people to announce to us what their feelings are and what their orientation is or what gender they identify with. Because if you are a straight person, you are not going around, oh, I'm straight, I love men or I love women.
Yeah, exactly.
As society is dictating it. No one does that. And if someone would, people would look at you like, why?
That's good. Okay. That's good. Congratulations. You get a sticker.
But somehow it is expected of people still to come out as gay or anything else. And it's just...
it's an extra weight that they have to carry. The people who don't identify as like strictly straight have to carry around day to day.
Yeah.
And it's just an extra thing on your to-do list every single day.
Here is to that we are reaching a day someday, hopefully sooner than later, where we don't have to do that anymore, and it is just normal.
Yeah.
Everyone sees it as a normal thing, and that we don't even have to explain ourselves anymore and have a coming out.
Yeah.
Because you are the way you are, and that is great, and that shouldn't make any difference. And I hope that this day comes sooner or later.
Yeah, I think we're definitely headed in that right direction, but I agree with you too. That point where there's not just two boxes to check from anymore.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't matter which box you check. You can check three of them, you can check 20 of them, you can check just one. But the thing that's the most important is that you're a person, we like you, and you're you. And that's it.
Yeah.
The end.
How do you think the Wizarding World is seeing this? Do you think they have the same kind of struggle happening? We have Dumbledore, for example, and Grindelwald, supposedly, if he is not just charming anyone to get his will through, but we know at least of Dumbledore that he is officially gay. That, do you think it's a struggle for the wizards as well to have a big press conference and tell the world, hello, I am gay, I am pansexual, I am whatever else.
Yeah, bisexual, asexual, demisexual, you know, any of the orientations.
Yes. So what do you think?
I feel like given the time frame of when these books take place, I want to say that it probably is similar, because when I reread the books, there are so many people in these books that I just see as being queer in some capacity, mm-hmm. whether it's Charlie Weasley being asexual, whether it's Grindelwald, I think he is bisexual, honestly, or pansexual, one of the two, because he, you're right, he seems to be able to flirt with anything that...
Yeah, yeah.
That just he feels to
charm his way through. And if he notices, ooh, there is this gentleman Dumbledore, he seems to be having a love interest in me, let's play into that. Because we don't know yet, we will find out, but...
Yeah, and that's not to say people who are pansexual or bisexual are devious in any capacity, but they just, they're attracted to multiple different genders and gender orientations. And to me, Grindelwald kind of reads as that. But I feel like on my reads, just context-wise, I feel like there are a lot of people who are maybe by chagrin of the author just not mentioned to be queer, or maybe just because of the time frame feel uncomfortable being honest about their queerness within these books.
So you think that they have the same struggle as we muggles have?
Yeah, I would say yes to that.
Okay. Do you think it might even be even harder than in the muggle world? Because when you look at the whole wizarding world in a total, they always seem to be in certain ways much more behind when it comes to...
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, they're still sending owls. They are not knowing what certain gadgets are and that kind of stuff. They always seem to be far behind in their time. And they still have the whole muggle-born calling people mudbloods and purebloods and that kind of stuff. So they are very racist in that way. I'm not saying everyone is, but it is existing and we have seen that in the stories.
Yeah.
So it is a big point that is being made. Maybe I kind of feel like it's not very obvious from the stories to give a perfect answer here, but I could kind of imagine also that it's still much more secretive and harder to live out yourself and your identity.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, because I know when I was in high school, and I'm sure this is still a thing in some capacity, when I was in high school we had like a gay pride group that you could go and be a part of to either be an ally or to just be yourself within the group and promote the visibility of queer people within the school. I feel as though if this existed in Hogwarts, Luna would probably be the only member that I can think of that would... She'd probably be the president. I could see, like, maybe Colin Creevy. This is just Juliana's headcanon, nothing else. Maybe joining...
I feel like that Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws would be more the type of people who would be easier, like, open up and say, yes, hello, here I am too, I want to support, or...
Oh my god, if we had Hufflepuff... Okay, so if we go back to the Hufflepuff common room currently now in 2021, I imagine on the first day of everyone coming into the Hufflepuff common room, everyone gets a name tag and it says your name, your pronouns, your sexual orientation, your gender.
You sit in a circle and you say, hello, I am Juliana, I am this and this.
I am she, her, I am demisexual, I identify as a chair.
Okay. Are you related to Slughorn?
I might be.
You might be.
He and I both identify as chairs. It would just be a thing in the Hufflepuff common room that the first day everyone just learns about everyone else. Everyone's so open to it. We're all super excited to meet everyone, learn everyone's correct pronouns. Then from there on out, it's just a thing that we've baked into our, what we know about each other, and we would probably have like all these pride celebrations and all these other celebrations of all these things in the Hufflepuff common room. I don't know if that would happen in 1992 or 1993 or whatever, but I think in 2021 the Hufflepuff common room would be pretty much the hub for queer representation and celebration.
Yeah, we would have all the flags. We would bake cupcakes in according colors and celebrate each one of those. Yeah, I could imagine. I could see that. Definitely. That would be so fun.
I know. I'm just imagining it now. I was like, can I go back to Hogwarts and just like,
I would
make,
love
not
that
I was ever there, but make this happen, because it would be just so much fun to just celebrate everyone. And that's...
Yeah.
That's one of, like, the nice things about being, when everyone is, like, quote-unquote allowed to be themselves, we can just celebrate each other and just celebrate who each person is, because it's not a bad thing to be queer. It's not a bad thing to not be queer. It's who you are. And I think we very much so diverted from the Luna topic at this point.
But it plays into that. I mean,
yeah.
That's why I'm asking, how do you feel like it yeah. would be in the wizarding world? Because we are talking, yes, about Luna, but also about Pride, and both together. Yes. And it happens in the wizarding world. So I think that's not off topic. But yeah, what else do we have here about Luna?
Here's actually a pretty good quote that goes along pretty much with what we were just saying. So it says, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really good sentiment to have, is those people who are annoyed with you and don't like who you are, those aren't the people you want to be friends with anyway. Those are the people who are insignificant in your greater life anyway. But the people who matter don't care who you are. They have you around for a reason.
Yeah. Funnily enough, just had a discussion with a friend about that yesterday, that I think that the older you get, the more you see that what is really important and what isn't. Mm-hmm. And this line here and its importance comes into play. The older you grow, the more mm-hmm. important it is, because you start to see that there's so many toxic people out there that just yep. are spreading negativity and nastiness, and you don't need that. You want to be happy in your life, don't you? So why waste your time and energy on such nastiness? Why would you want to have someone in your life and keep them around if they're just making you feel bad all the time?
Yeah, those aren't your friends.
No, they are not. Luna is, at the time, in her young mind, already so far ahead from what I was at that time. And now, being 38, I am starting to... No, I've actually started that much earlier already, but,
yeah,
you know, she was already really smart at that time. Go, Luna.
Most people decide they don't like you before you even start speaking.
Yeah.
So why try to be anyone else?
Yeah.
They already don't like you. So what does it matter what comes out of your mouth? Just say what you were going to say anyway.
Yeah. It can make a big difference who raises you and what you have yourself surrounded with. Because if you are growing up in an environment where you are constantly being told it's not okay who you are,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be confident. And other kids and teenagers will pick up on that and will pick on you and bully you. Again, we can talk about that still later, because that comes up in my part, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. So we have a few more quotes from Luna that I think are good at showing how she promotes, like, accepting yourself and just being who you are. How mm-hmm. being self-aware is a good way to start this journey. If you're not aware and you don't know who you are, how can you be confident in anything at mm-hmm. that point? One of the things she says, they think I'm odd. She's aware that they think that she is odd. One of her famous lines, you're just as sane as I am. Which has us all questioning what our level of insanity is, even though I know mine is fully insane. So thank you very much.
But the thing is that for her, for example, she doesn't feel like she's insane. She lives her own truth.
Yeah.
That is the important thing. So saying that you are just as sane as I am is making perfectly sense. It sounds mm-hmm. in the first moment maybe a little bit odd. And you think, yeah, but you are a little bit loony, aren't you?
Yeah.
But no, she lives her truth. She makes perfect sense with what she's saying here.
Yeah. When you think about it beyond the fact that on the first read-through, it sounds almost like she's insulting people because of the way that the books portray her and the other characters see her as, like, Loony Lovegood. It's mm-hmm. her. In the first read-through, it sounds like, oh, she's calling me crazy because everyone else calls her crazy. When really mm-hmm. she's saying that we're all our own version. Like, the people who think they're normal aren't. We're all living our own version of reality.
Yeah.
These children in this Hogwarts school are essentially just living the same reality through a different filter. Your filter is different than my filter.
Also, the time that we spend in Hogwarts, and when you think about the age that kids and teenagers are in, that is still the time where you don't even know who you necessarily are yourself. Mm-hmm. You're still finding yourself. And that maybe also confuses the others.
Yeah.
Because Luna is already several steps ahead of everyone mm-hmm. else. She already knows what way she's going there. At least I feel like she is. Others are still like, you know, trying to fit in and yeah. they want to be one of the cool kids. You know that from your own school times when you mm-hmm. were in mm-hmm. class, and there were always these cool kids, and then there were the ones that were like, eh.
Yep.
And either you were one of the cool ones, you were in the middle somewhere, or you were at the so-called bottom where people were just bullying you all the time. And depending on what your way is to find this, you are in one of those categories.
Yeah. I feel as though it's almost a blessing, in a weird, convoluted way, to be at the bottom, because the people at the top, from my own experience, not being someone at the top and knowing people, is that their identities were kind of handed to them. To fit into that cool crowd, you had to fit a certain identity and you had to fit a certain criteria and had certain expectations kind of put on top of you. Because let's face it, most of the people who are in the Auburn High School cool crowd were like on the cheerleading team and in the on the football team, not in the chorus like Juliana. So
that is still a very different way of going to school than it is for us here in Europe, because we don't have that kind of stuff. So it's very different.
Yeah.
I feel like when you look at Hogwarts, we for sure have that stuff happening inside the houses a little bit, maybe. But when you just look at the houses itself, they are themselves already labeled in a way as such.
The cool kids versus the non-cool kids.
The Gryffindors are the cool kids.
Yeah.
The Slytherins are also probably the cool kids, but at least from the book point of view, they are the bullies.
Yeah. They're the cool kids that everyone is scared of.
We insist of course, making sure that it's not that way. We know a lot of Slytherins and they are great people. We love the Slytherins.
Yes.
So, and then you have the Ravenclaws that are just put the label on as being the nerds that have just the nose in the book at all time. And then there are the Hufflepuffs.
The leftovers.
The leftovers that are being bullied and that are apparently useless. You know, so you have these kinds of labels on there as well. And that's why some people argue always that it's not good to sort kids for especially early. So early, because you cannot really tell yet what direction they go to and who they are going to be, but they are sort of put into a box and being labeled in that way already when they're at age 11, which is quite early.
This comes back to the point that I was like making my way towards, is that if you're at the bottom of the barrel, or if you're a Hufflepuff, I guess, in this situation in the books, there aren't set expectations for you and there aren't set rules as to how you have to behave or like where you're going or what your personality has to be. Whereas like, imagine you're in Gryffindor, you have to be brave and you must be chivalrous and you must act a certain way and you have certain jobs that lie ahead of you as being but as a Hufflepuff, as the leftovers, we don't have that. We can be whoever the heck we want to be. Like, I could be a baker. You could be a magical car repairman. We could also be orers. Like, we could be whatever we want to be just because people put us in that group. They say, good riddance. And we say, thank you, sir. We shall do whatever we want now.
With what you just said, it reminds me of Neville and his struggle throughout the years until he finds himself towards the end of the stories, because he is always questioning himself, why am I put into Gryffindor? I'm not brave. I am sucky at everything. I can't even do proper magic. I'm not brave at all. And it's reminding me of that you have to fulfill sort of, society is always suggesting that you should be in a certain way. And if you're not, you're struggling and then people make fun of you and they hate on you. And Neville has to go through such a hard time in school, I always feel. We, of course, again, but we are Hufflepuffs anyway, we are rooting for him, you know, that you can do this. And at the end, he's actually really doing it. And he found finally his self-confidence and he can do it.
Yeah.
That might have something to do with Luna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they become pretty good friends.
Yeah, they're coming so close and become such good friends that I'm sure she had some influence on him in that and brought up his confidence, and he learned from her that it is okay and you can do this thing anyway and you just have to have your own time on getting there.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we're getting at is that society sets standards for people and people aren't standards. Everyone is different.
Yeah.
Like Luna says, being different isn't a bad thing. It just means that you're a person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though Neville's a good example of that. And Luna is also a good example of, if we were all the same, oh my God, how boring would life be? So one of the other things too that is not critical, but pretty important to being yourself is just being able to be an optimist going forward, because being a confident, self-aware person who accepts themselves is just being that optimist who thinks to themselves over and over in their head, I am me, the world accepts me as I am. Even if it's not a conscious thought, the world will accept me. I am me. And it also doesn't hurt to have an optimistic view over things. On the whole, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Even if people tell you that this is a horn of Nerumpant, but you believe it is a, what was it called? I always forget.
A snuckle, no. Scrubble-headed snork snout or something. Snuckle-buggle snowbubble.
I never know how to pronounce it. You know what I mean.
Oh, come on, girls. It's a crumple-horned snorkack, of course.
Luna believes it's something else that hopefully she discovered is actually true, a true being.
Yes.
So you still believe in yourself. Sometimes it's not even necessarily needed to be completely right and correct here, but at least you still believe in yourself and you don't give up on that. And even if you fail, you still continue believing in yourself that you can do the thing.
Yeah, and I think that Luna is so inspiring for her too. She's open to so many ideas and she just has a fabulous imagination and wonder about taking in the world. She's excited to be herself and she's excited to see other people be herself and she's excited to discover new things and believe in new things and just really be open to just what other people would consider to be a little bit wacky or loony per se. Yeah. I mean, one of the quotes that we have here says, a Raxpert, they're invisible. They float through your ears and make your brain go fuzzy. I thought I felt one zooming around in here. And I know within the context of the books, the other characters kind of roll their eyes at her and are like, okay, fine, I'm like, whatever, great. And she's excited that she thinks that this is what it is. And she's open to the fact that this might be a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just that wonder and that sense of awe is something that we can take inspiration from Luna as well.
What you have to question is, can you prove her wrong? If you can't, just be open-minded as Luna.
Yes. Is it negatively affecting you in any capacity?
Yeah, exactly.
And can you prove her wrong? If you answered no to both those questions, let the woman live her life.
Yes. And you don't always have to believe in the same things that others do, as long as you're just respecting them and let them be.
Yeah.
If it makes her happy and if that is what she believes in, but you don't agree with it, that goes back to all the different gender identities. If you don't believe in it, it's not your, first of all, not your right to believe in it or not to believe in it. If that is what someone feels, then you respect that. And then you let them identify themselves as such. And it's none of your business to make a judgment over them and tell them that they are wrong. Because if someone comes to you and you are a straight person and tells you, but you can't be straight, you're wrong, you will also not accept that.
Yeah.
Who are you to tell someone else that you can't be that if you are claiming yourself to be a straight person?
Yeah. And someone's gender identity doesn't affect you. Don't take it as a personal insult, because it, at the core of it all, it's not a personal insult to anyone. It's just a statement of how this person feels within their soul. To take that as a personal insult is just naive on your own part.
It comes down to people being afraid of what they don't know.
Yes, exactly.
If they don't know anything about this, then it must be automatically bad.
I call this the ew response, because God love my family, but anytime that anytime anything different happens or new happens, the second I told them I was signed up for a marathon, they thought I was mentally like beyond insane. They were like, ew, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Come a few years forward, a bunch of the rest of my family has run marathons, and now sometimes when I go and see visit them, all they want to talk about is the marathons that they are running, just because it was different and new and they hadn't given it any time to actually either just accept it or just think about, like, hey, there are millions of people who run marathons every year.
I had the exact same experience with becoming a vegan. Mm-hmm. Exactly like that. Some of my closest friends, the first response was, this is gonna be so inconvenient for us now that you are going to be a vegan, because now we can't go anywhere anymore, and so on. They were only seeing their own problem and immediately went against it.
Yeah.
That's the same thing happening in the gender identity thing. Not all of them, of course not, and I'm happy for that, but they are these kinds of people
who give it the ew. Ew. Why?
In my case also, instead of asking me questions properly, they were throwing things at me, statements that were just false. And instead of just discussing this and then realizing this is actually not a bad thing, and they have, luckily, after a while, and now it's not really a big deal anymore. But the first response was immediately very negative.
There's so many things that lead you up to the top of that ladder where you reach either being a vegan or being a marathon runner or coming out with your sexual identity. It's not just like, bam, all of a sudden, unless you're the exception to the rule. There's a lot of things that lead up to it. There's a lot of things within your personality, how you perceive the world, within how you act, that either lead to you coming out as a certain identity or becoming a vegan or becoming a marathon runner. And you still get that still same stupid response out of a lot of people being like, why?
It is something that people aren't familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Especially people who have a certain image of you in their mind. That's how they know you, and suddenly you tell them a completely different fact about you that they have never seen, suspected, or anything. They are suddenly threatened in their mind, like, I don't even know this person. Who are you? Like, you are suddenly an alien, that they have a box for you. This is Juliana. Fact 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And suddenly you jump out of that box for them into another box, and they suddenly don't know what to do with you anymore. And hopefully, if something like this happens to any one of you who's listening, hopefully these people, even if they have this initial shock about it, that they very quickly get around to just accepting it, asking questions if they have questions, because you don't necessarily know everything about this.
Yeah.
They adjust to it. That sounds weird to say adjust to it, but not be judgmental and just be supportive. And I know many don't have that, and they have to, they lose their families over that kind of stuff. And it's just so sad that this is still happening, because they are just not able to wrap their mind around this and see it as an evil thing.
Going off of your box metaphor, it's like these people keep you in this very tiny box, and then you, as a person, have legs and decide to step into the other box, and they can't realize that little boxes can be contained inside one big box that is you, and you can have multiple boxes within yourself that you can step between.
Yeah, and we are all actually guilty of it. We can call ourselves open-minded and accepting as much as we want to. We all do that sometimes.
Oh yeah, I can be judgmental.
Then we have certain boxes, even if we try not to have it, but sometimes we do, and we are judging people sometimes, maybe silently, and that should be the better option. But we all do it sometimes. And as long as we catch ourselves doing so and not hurt anyone with it, remind ourselves that it's none of our business, or it doesn't matter, it is not important, and correct ourselves there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just because a lot of it is how we're raised. A lot of it is things that are baked into you from the second that you're born. And a lot of where I think I am right now, Mel, and I want to say probably where you are, is unlearning a lot of those things and replacing them with what actually is what I believe personally to be the truth of the world, is that everyone is their own person and that we should just all be accepting of, open of everyone.
Yeah, even if it can be hard to understand, I would never never claim to understand even half of the
information
out there, for example, about gender identity.
I'm constantly still learning.
Yeah, me too. But as long as we stay open-minded and show that, yeah, we are willing to learn this and not give up on that, it's important that we all do know these things and that we are supporting those who are affected by this.
Yeah, I think it's good to just, like you said, be open to learning new things. If someone comes up to you and says, hey, I identify as X, Y, and Z, you can go, oh, wow, can you tell me more about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's a good response. Or you can use the classic Juliana. Oh boy, can you tell me more about that? And so I've just kind of tried to bring more neutral language into my vocabulary on the whole. So that way it just gives me a second to think about why I think it's so crazy or why I think I might say it's like wacky or something. And then to regroup and come back and be like, well, that was a choice. Good for you. Or something like that, where initially my response would have been like, well, that's weird, because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
If you can find like little mental hacks like that for yourself that give you that space to really process what's happening, I feel like that can also be useful.
And don't use the excuse, I am old and I don't learn things anymore, because this is how it used to be and that's how we grew up and that's how it must stay.
That's no crap.
No matter how old we are always learning and we always should be learning and never stop. By the way, that whole discussion that we have had now today about Luna and Pride and our experiences, which we still go into a short detail here, I feel like it would be really fun, since some listeners have asked for character analyzation, maybe we could actually ask you guys to make suggestions, because I don't know how you feel about it. I would kind of love to have more discussions like this, where we get a character and then we get a topic to that and try to make it relate to that. Form the character and analyze it and form that around and, you know?
Yeah, I think this has been a good format.
Yeah, because that could be really interesting, I think. Maybe you people could let us know how you feel about that, and we can discuss this a little bit more if you like the idea or not.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea, to get suggestions from the listeners as to like combination topic and character discussions you would like to see and hear about.
We're always looking for ways to include you guys and want to make this a fun experience for you, because...
Yeah.
You know, it gives us new ways to think about the whole magical world also, and not just over and over the same thing. That would be fun.
Yeah, I can say I've never heard this conversation before, and I listen to quite a lot of Harry Potter podcasts.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm very pleased with that, so that's definitely a good thing. So I guess from Luna, we've just mostly learned that it's good, it's okay, and you should be yourself, because no one else is going to do it for you, and life is just better.
And there is only one of you.
Yes.
No one else is like you, so live who you are and make the world a better place with that.
Yeah, I mean, I can just speak from personal experience. I've had to learn very much hardcore that there is only one Juliana. And
yeah.
Never in my life have I met anyone who meets these qualifications, but being someone else and trying to be someone else just makes you a miserable person. Or at least me specifically, it just made me miserable. And pretending to be something I'm not just made me miserable, even without even like really realizing that how miserable I was. Just comparing where I am now on my like level of self-confidence and level of being myself to where I was, say, like even like 2 or 3 years ago, I'm just innately happier, because it's just easier to live your truth and just be you. Be a nerd, be a dork, be a uptight person, be a really loosey-goosey person. I don't care. Be a chair. I mean, I identify as a chair. I don't know. I'm going to have to work out how this actually works, because I don't know how I identify as a chair, but something inside me tells me.
But talking about that and our own experiences, on the point that you just made, I personally also have been for many years being someone who I have had this best friend, and I kind of followed her no matter what. We were basically one person. I was so much like her, but not really myself.
Yeah.
That when I became older and we finished school and we started working, and I slowly started to fall into my own path and became myself truly, this same person was suddenly, and my other friends were suddenly turning their head and like, wow, what's going on with Melanie? Because she's so different and that's not who she is. And they didn't like it. Yeah. Because I wasn't like just imitating them anymore. I was actually my own self and did what made me happy. And all the choices I have done since then is looked at by them like it's a negative thing. And therefore, we are no longer close friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just part of growing up anyway. You know, you find yourself and either those people that you surround yourself are still there or they aren't because you grow apart.
I was going to say, I think a lot of that process, because I identify with that a lot, more or less the friends I had in high school and middle school, and more my family. It's the time that you get by yourself, where you slowly kind of are able to separate, hey, this is something I've learned, and hey, this is something that I actually like a lot. Just because I feel like the longer I've spent living on my own, the one, nerdier my apartment has gotten. Whereas when I was younger, I remember I had like one Harry Potter poster and I had like one Pirates of the Caribbean poster and that was it really. It was not cool for my family to have someone who was kind of nerdy. And so I told myself that I just kind of liked them. I was a fan, but not really. Harry Potter was kind of an exception for me just because I grew up pretty much with the books and Harry Potter like was the popular thing when I was growing up. Like everyone went to the book releases and went to the movies. So it wasn't like quote unquote nerd culture at that point. It was just strictly popular culture. But the more time you get away from the people like you, Mel, like your friends and like me with my family, you're able to separate, I guess, thinking of Loki, the timelines that you could be on. So you become a variant of your own choice.
Yeah, you live yourself. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always think that at the deepest core throughout our lives, we are the same person. But we are constantly learning and making new experience and learning more from that. We have the good times, we have the bad times, and we all take something from that and that forms us. I mean, life circumstances are also changing and that influences what we do and how we are acting and what we are doing and how we show ourselves. It influences us very much who we are surrounded by. And in my case, I have had, I'm not gonna go into big details, but I have had a pretty bad childhood. And therefore, it formed me to be very quiet and hold myself back and not really being myself because I was constantly told that I am not good the way I am. Just unlearning that, actually just stepping up and being yourself is
very hard.
It is very hard. But hopefully everyone who has to go through experiences like that, where they are afraid to show who they are, hopefully reaches a point where they are brave enough to do it. And I encourage you to do it.
Yes.
That's the only way to actually become happy and live a happy life. And you deserve to live a happy life, no matter when that time comes for you. For some, it might take longer. For me, it took over 30 years to actually radically change something that made my life better.
Yeah.
Just start to be actually happy. Because we, as the cheesy line goes, we all only have one life and we are supposed to make something good with that. I hope that every one of you can and will.
Yeah. And I think the thing is too, because I can speak from personal experience with this, and I think you might have a little bit of personal experience with this too, Mel, is that you're not alone. It's very hard to unlearn what you have learned as a child or as a kid and replace it with what is the actual reality. It's a multi-step process because you first have to be aware of what is happening, what you do on your own, and then you have to be active in how you're changing things. And that in itself is such a daunting and overwhelming process. And I know if I didn't have Anne, shout out to Anne!
Shout out to Anne!
And my therapist. I wouldn't be in the spot where I am now. And she has been instrumental in helping me to identify why I'm unhappy, how I can change these situations, identify identify how certain people in my life are just putting a damper on things and how I don't have to let it be that way.
Yeah.
So I would say that, one, you're definitely not alone in feeling any of these feelings in any capacity.
And they are valid.
Yes, every feeling that you have is valid. I will say, feelings are not facts. That's what Anne tells me all the time too. You can have feelings, you can have as many feelings as you want, but that does not make them to be facts in the actual world.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a therapist is good too, because they can help you talk through, or someone who can help you talk through how you are feeling and help you separate your feelings from the facts of the actual situation, and then what you can do to make yourself feel better given those facts. I would say if you feel like you need help, reach out to someone. Psychology.com is a great place to find a therapist. That's where I found Anne. But if you can't find a therapist, finding someone that you can confide in and you know isn't going to judge you. I would say the biggest plus of having a therapist is that they don't have any stake in your life.
Mm-hmm. They don't judge you.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever you tell them doesn't come with repercussions. So like if I have a yelling fight at you, Mel, I know that the repercussion is that we're probably not going to be friends for a while and it's going to negatively affect me. Whereas if I have a yelling fight with Anne, she probably actually won't fight back and she is going to keep doing her job as she did before we had that yelling fight because she's not invested in the rest of my life.
If you don't have anyone in your life that you are feeling comfortable with to talk about this, but you are also afraid to take the step and go to see a therapist, find people online.
Yeah. Even if it's just like a forum that you have remain anonymous yes. in and you have like a weird yes. username. Sent some messages to Mel the other day too because I had some thoughts and I just need to get them out of my head because I know personally if I let things marinate in my head, it just makes the situation worse.
Yeah.
Just having a place where you can kind of mind dump things, be it a journal, a forum online, I feel like that is at least a good starting point.
There is ways to get through the troubles that you have and get better. And then maybe if you're starting to feel more confident or brave enough that you then get professional help or you yeah. are able to open up to your friends and family to get the support that you need. Because people will surprise you, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now, the last about half a year or a bit longer now, since I have had my burnout by the end of last year, I have actually talked with some people at work. And I openly told them what is going on because, again, we are big advocates to talk about mental health mm-hmm. here. Surprisingly, a handful of people that I did not expect this from told me, oh, I went through that already twice and let's talk about this. And then we talked about it. And otherwise, we would have never had such a deep connection there in that moment. So people will surprise you and you are suddenly finding someone who understands you and you feel so much better and less alone in that moment. And it's good to have that. So
pretty much the same thing happened to me when I announced that I was dyslexic. Because again, I just want to be open with any character traits that I might have. And I announced that I was dyslexic and I had like so many people at work coming up to me being like, oh, I'm dyslexic too. I have a kid that's dyslexic. Yeah, people will jump out of the woodwork and really surprise you in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I feel like one of the best things that can come from talking about it, I grew up thinking I was like alone in a way. That I was the only one having these thoughts. I was the only one having these feelings. That no one else could understand how I was feeling. And lo and behold, yeah, Mel's pointing at herself. Lo and behold, yeah. There are millions of people who feel the exact same way as myself. And I just had been stuck in this box growing up. I was just led to believe that I was alone. I was a freak. I was a weirdo. How could anyone ever be depressed? How could anyone ever have these feelings? Be a geek or a nerd? Like, what is wrong with you? And that was just the information that I had. And one of the best things about either finding this forum or finding this community is learning that, like, in the best way possible, you're not an individual. There are people just like you out there having these same feelings and these same thoughts. And there's people who have been through that situation that you've been through already. And they can give you advice on how to attack the situation and how they got through it. In the end, it's all good. Well, I'll get through it. I'm not alone. There are other people here who are here to support me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like we covered a lot, Mel.
Yeah, we have been recording almost 2 hours already.
I think my last couple of quick tips that I have are fake confidence. Just fake it until you make it. I mean, that's Sometimes you just gotta put on a smile and pretend like, I love that I am a chair. And... And the more you tell yourself that, the more you will believe it. Then you'll finally get to the point where you have confidence in something. So if you don't innately have confidence in it, just pretend that you do.
I do have to say, though, if one of you out there really seriously believes that you are a chair, I think...
It's a choice, Mel.
There are also limits to... certain beliefs that you can have or should have. If you believe you are a chair or a flamingo or something, maybe you should do something to help get help. I'm not sure how healthy that is, but everything else, be who you are and what you want to be.
It just reminds me of all those videos of, like, preschoolers who they go down the line there and ask them what they want to be when they grow up. And they're like, a police officer, a nurse. And one of them's like, a tube of toothpaste. And you're like, you go, kid. You grow up to be the best tube of toothpaste that this world has ever seen.
My brother, when he was in kindergarten, they were also asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he says, a monster. Perfect.
Oh, I love it so much. I guess, like, my other last tip is something that I do personally is to maybe adopt a mantra for yourself or a personal tagline, kind of. Something you can say over and over in your head that just kind of brings you some kind of ease and just, like, kind of recenters you and reminds you, hey, this is my goal in life. I want to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite one is the one that I have tattooed on my arm that says, you can only run the mile you're in, which pretty much means you can only be here. So just... work on accepting that.
I was about to say, I have tattoos as well that remind me of things that make sure that when I have a low day, I remind myself that it's okay.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Every time you look at it, it just kind of helps remind you that everything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's probably it, except for the fact that we love everybody.
We love you.
We love you. No matter how you identify, if you're a chair or not, we love you so much. I would really love someone else to identify as a chair or some other piece of furniture. So I'm not feeling alone in this.
So for all the bar stools.
All you couches out there.
And kitchen aids out there. We love you. Be you. Sparkle.
Be squishy. Be soft.
Be comfy.
Be cozy.
Oh my god.
But yes, we love everyone, no matter who you are, how you identify. We just want you to be you, and we want to be your friend. So that's really all that boils down to.
All right.
Okay.
With finishing up our main discussion, we are going to jump into our fun segment of the week. And this week we are going to play Hagrid's Hut. And Juliana is already getting antsy. She's already getting ready and prepared for whatever comes her way.
Not being able to answer the question, probably.
And once again, I would like you to say stop.
Stop.
What is that?
I don't know. You're looking at the book. I'm not looking at the book.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, this does not bode well for me. I don't like the way that face looks.
This week's beast that Hagrid is hiding in his hut.
Blimey, what's he hiding in there?
The MOM classification for this beast is 5X, so very dangerous. The it's a mercifully rare creature found solely in tropical climates. It resembles a black cloak, perhaps half an inch thick. Thicker if it has recently killed and digested a victim, which glides along the ground at night. The earliest account we have of a was written by the wizard Flavius Belby, who's fortunate enough to survive a attack in 1782 while holidaying in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
So here's a whole recount of what happened, but I'm not gonna read through all of that. It's too long.
That's fine.
Continuing. As Belby so dramatically reveals, the Patronus is the only spell known to repel the since it generally attacks the sleeping, though its victims rarely have a chance to use any magic against it. Once its prey has been successfully suffocated, the digest its food there and then in their bed. It then exits the house slightly thicker and fatter than before, leaving no trace of itself or its victims behind.
I know exactly what this... I remember reading that description in the book, and I know it's mentioned within, like, the greater series, too. What the heck is it? It's like a...
What are we dealing with?
It's like it's like a death cloak. It's like what the heck is it called?
I can hear the screaming of the listeners already what it is. They will be like, Juliana, it's a
I know, I can't think of it. I like have a pretty vivid image of what it would look like in my head cuz oh, it has a name that involves like a kind of like a cloak or like a sheet or something. It's like a I want to say it starts with a D. Can I get a letter?
L.
Lemequis? Leva. I'm pretty sure it's Lev.
Oh.
Levetchi. I don't know.
I think you're going in the right direction, but if you...
It's a Lev something. It's a Ellie something.
Ellie? You're thinking it's Ellie?
Levithrall? Levithrall?
No.
Levitra.
It's not a troll or an alley.
Levithal?
Oh, you're so close!
Levithrall?
People, should I let this count already or should we let it go through and people can scream at us? Juliana, how could you get this wrong? You're so close!
Can I get the letter that it ends with?
A D.
Levifold! A Lethifold!
Yay!
A Lethifold! I knew this one.
It was so close.
Lethifold. That's what it is.
Definitely a nightmare creature I don't ever want to encounter.
No.
Never, ever.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't wish that on anyone.
No, I'm good. I don't want that for myself.
Good job. Sorry, listeners, you don't have anything to guess now. But we definitely have a Buttercup's question of the week for you.
Yes. Take it away, Buttercup.
Hello there, lovelies. My question this week is, do you think that our LGBTQ+ friends would have to live through the same struggle in the wizarding world? What would be different? Share your thoughts and theories with us. We would love to hear them.
Thank you, Buttercup, for that lovely question. And listeners, if you'd like to answer that question, head on over to our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or send us a response on our email, and we will read it here on the show. Fabulous. And if you would like to get in contact with us, you can listen to us on all platforms where podcasts are found. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffcastPod. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/PuffCast, and we are also on TikTok at PuffCast. You can email us at PuffcastPod@gmail.com, and if you'd like to, you can support us over on Patreon on patreon.com/PuffCast. And there, for as little as $2 a month, you can get bloopers, access to Buttercup's tea room, stickers, and so much more, and also help with our monthly charity donation, which when this episode comes out, we will be announcing that it is Mel's animal shelter that we donated to. I was going to say we're deciding, but we already decided.
It is my very own animal shelter that covers whole Germany.
The only animal shelter is called Mel's Animals. The end.
So this month we are donating to the animal shelter Neumünster in Germany, which is the place where my friend Nina works. To give you a quick overview of who they are a small team of four, and their work consists of the care and placement of animals that did not have a good life so far and or need to get out of emergency situations. They take care of dogs, cats, small animals, and birds, and they currently have a big emergency that consists of nearly 40 small animals that have been in poor condition but that need to find a new home right now. And of course, with these kinds of cases, there come a lot of vet bills that are quite high, and this is where we all come into play to donate and help out with that. So the animals can be taken care of and then be made ready to find new homes. So if you would love to help us with that, we would appreciate it. I know my friend Nina will appreciate it very much. She was very excited that we chose to help them this month. All the information about the shelter will be down in the information box of this episode. You can find the website link and easily find under donations there. You can find their bank information. There's also a PayPal link, which would probably be much easier. And then you can send them a little bit or more however you can. Every tiny bit helps.
Okay, so we'll be supporting that shelter this month, going into the month of July. And if you'd like to help us with that, please head on over to our Patreon and support. And if you would like to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, we would love to read it here on the show. So, until next time, stay puffy.
And badger on.
Badger on. Badger on.
Badger on.
Badger on.
That was nice.
Yes. Yeah.